Well, I desire your prayers this morning and an interest in your attention for just a little while. I've written on the board little by little. You know, part of the hope of the gospel is that it deals with both pleasant and unpleasant realities of life. And it gives us and provides a pathway from the unpleasant to a better state. This morning, I'm inspired to share with you a message that is sobering to me. It's a challenge to me. But I also hope and trust that with that challenge that you also find it encouraging and the hope that goes along with it. I'm often struck by, I'm drawn to, I don't think it's too strong of a word. It's kind of a strong word, but sometimes even captivated by often large, well-designed, structurally pleasing, beautiful dwelling places, estates. Magnificent in so many different ways, where detail has been paid attention to in so many different areas. Only what I'm struck by is that it's not beautiful anymore. It's not magnificent anymore. What I'm struck by is those places that were once that way, but now they are dark and empty and run down and overgrown, windows broken, vegetation out of control, the porch starting to lean on one end, holes in the roof, no utility anymore. The spirit, the positive spirit, gone out of the home, the dwelling place, the estate. That's what I'm drawn to. I'm captivated by it sometimes when I wonder, how did that happen? What happened? How did it go from beautiful to this? When was the last time somebody lived here? What was going through their minds when it was first designed and it was the first night that it was stayed in? It was a dwelling place where the lights were flipped on and it was beautiful. And what happened? And I wonder what used to be, what it could be, but what it now is. And I feel like that places like that, have you ever seen them? Drive down, maybe in your travels, driving down the road, and you look over and there it is. Big, big, beautiful area. But it's not beautiful anymore. And I feel like sometimes those examples cry out to be heard, to be learned from. And this morning, I'm challenged to read a passage, five verses, that relate to this, that are connected to that example as it relates to life. I'd like to read out of the 24th chapter of Proverbs today, starting in the 30th verse, and it says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw, and I considered it well, and I looked upon it, and I received instruction. Yet, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Well, I think about a lot of things when I read this, but I guess one of the first things that strikes me about this passage is that it's a sad and all too familiar description of many a soul and their end. And yet it's avoidable. It's preventable. And yet it happens. And this morning, I'm not interested in being slothful for my life. I don't want that to be a description of me. I don't want to neglect the truth that has been given to me to be a good steward of. I don't want to neglect the opportunity that the Lord has given me in life to do something good with what He's given me. Because if I'm neglectful and if I'm not careful, then it can cost me everything, perhaps. It can cost so much. And I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. The writer here is using a field. He's using a vineyard to illustrate a picture, the story of a man's life, describing the state of his heart and his thoughts and his action or his inaction and the consequences that went along with that. And the writer gets right to the point of the type of person that he's wanting to describe. And it was a slothful man. The word slothful is not a pretty word. There's no one here that probably wants to be described as slothful. It's what is slothful? Somebody that's slothful is they're disinclined to work. They don't really have an interest to exert. A slothful person operates in a state of idleness. There is an absence of a sense of urgency to attend to what is before them. That's within their scope of responsibility. No real sense of urgency. And he also says, void of understanding. And in this case, it was speaking to a condition of choice. Not because they didn't have something to say about it. Not because they were void of understanding, because they just couldn't get a hold of it. They tried, but they couldn't. No, it was a condition of choice because they were slothful. They didn't take advantage of the opportunities that were given to them. Folks, there are consequences to us this morning. If we make choices in life to not apply ourselves to learn and to know, to be diligent, there's consequences that go with that, both temporally and spiritually, in both areas. Have you ever heard somebody say after a damaging event, maybe it's a life-changing event, where life or limb or something else that significantly changed their life. Have you ever heard somebody say, but I didn't know. I didn't know. This is the person that made the choice that led to it. They said, well, I didn't know. But they should have known. They could have known. This describes me too this morning. We've probably all been here. I didn't know. I was walking down the train track and I didn't know that the train was going to come. But the train track wasn't designed to be a sidewalk. It was designed to be a train track where trains go. And trains are bigger than people. And if you're going to walk train tracks, you might want to understand when the trains go by, because sometimes you can't get off the train track. Train tracks are not designed with railroad ties so that you can have a consistent stride. You have to pay. Have you ever walked your... I'm exposing myself. I've walked on a train track more than once. And they don't put the ties so that you can have the same step. You have to pay attention. Sometimes there are switch points and they put some extra ties in. And then all of a sudden you have to get used to, okay, now they're back to the other spacing that's normal. And you got to be careful that you don't get your foot tangled in things. And then you get on a trestle or over a body of water and you hope a train doesn't come because you got to get to the other side because you don't want to jump in, because where we live there's crocodiles and snakes down in that dark water. You really don't want to jump off. You better get across before the train comes. And then a train comes and somebody loses their life. People lose their lives on train tracks. And they say, well, I didn't hear it coming. Maybe somebody that survived. One died, one survived. We didn't hear it coming. You don't always hear trains coming. As odd as that sounds, look it up. It's the way the physics work. The way that sound travels. Trains can come upon you from behind and you don't know they're coming. And people say, but I didn't know. Folks, life involves a lot of trains. That if we're on the wrong track, we're going to get hit and we're going to get hurt. It will do us well to pay attention to where we're going. To apply ourselves not to be void of understanding. Not to be slothful, but to give ourselves to understand what's going on around us or what could happen. Because often if we don't, we leave ourselves vulnerable. And sometimes we're so taken with the space that we've entered because we want to do it that we're disinclined to make any kind of change. We just want to do it. And we're set to do it and we really don't want to hear the reasons why that we shouldn't. And I've found in life and in the workplace, in the manufacturing, there's a lot of dangers that are out there. There's always reasons to do the wrong thing. There's always reasons not to do the right thing, put it that way. It seems like. Good reasons that people come up with. There's always reason to delay and defer action. Always reasons. Worked with a man that used to always say, let everybody else have the reasons you do the right thing. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles. And it covered the face thereof. It says, do you think it got like that overnight? Do you think they went to bed one night with a grand estate and it was beautiful and all was good and life was good? And then they got up the next morning and there's thorns and there's nettles and there's bad things all over on their property. Is that what happened, you think? I don't think so. But thorns and nettles had taken over. And what was once manageable items to be able to remove and eliminate now have created this difficult, thorny, painful situation that's hard to just take care of in a day. Hurts. We're talking about life. Hurts. Bitterness. Addictions. Broken relationships. Empty relationships versus full relationships. Lifestyles that aren't very productive, that are hard to get out of now. Trouble on every hand. And they'd have been so much more easily dealt with if they were paid attention to when they started to crop up. And when we were diligent to give ourselves to understand where might this lead and not close our eyes and plug our ears to what we didn't want to hear, but gave ourselves to understand and to know. Now the writer speaks of a stone wall. It said the stone wall thereof was broken down. The stone wall was meant to be a boundary, a strong boundary. It didn't make it out of wood. There's some good walls made out of wood. But they made it out of stone. Made it out of something strong. They didn't put hay bales out there. They put stone, rock, put a boundary. You know why people put boundaries out around their estates? It's not because they're trying to protect what's on the other side of the wall. They're happy about what they got on the inside. And they're trying to protect it. They want you to know, here's the boundary. It keeps the bad stuff out and the good stuff in. And it allows some control over what crosses the boundary. Maybe there's a gate that's in the stone wall that the owners have control of, whether to open or not. There's reasons, good reasons, to put strong boundaries. We as Christians, we have boundaries that we establish in our lives. They're not all the same. They're not all maybe spaced exactly the same distance from where our lives are, but we observe spiritual safeguards sometimes because we say, now wait a minute, I don't want to cross into that area over there. That's the space I don't want to be. So I'm going to put a boundary. I don't want that coming in my space, and I don't want to be in that space. I want it to be a reminder. Hey, I'm getting ready to cross a boundary. And it serves a purpose. And this was supposed to serve a purpose. A boundary, strong, good, keeps. But what did it say? It said that even the stone wall thereof was broken down. No guard now to prevent things coming in. Now seeds could get in that were sown. Tares could come in, and influences now coming in and create a space that was never designed to be created. We too today, folks, we too can take for granted and neglect and or neglect what we believe are protected by solid structures and boundaries. And every day, people are notified you don't have a job anymore. Your relationship's broken. You wake up one day and you find out, I'm not experiencing any of the fruit of the Spirit. Things that are good, love, joy, peace. Sometimes we think we'll always have peace with God. And then one day we realize, I'm not at peace with God. Where did it go? How did it happen? Light, truth is that way. Don't take for granted the truth and the light that you have, the understanding of the Word, the ability to know what's right and what's wrong, because there's influences out there to cause people to think in a completely wrong manner, and they really believe what they're saying. People that maybe at one time thought they were protected, but now light, truth, understanding has slipped away. How does it happen? Well, let's read on. Then I saw it and considered it well, and I looked upon it and received instruction. The observer here that went by, he saw this vineyard. He saw this field, and it was all overgrown, and it looked a mess. But he saw that at one point this was something grand. And so he saw it, and he considered it well. Folks, get a hold of this. Young people, please get a hold of this. Instruction is not only received by what you read and what you hear, but also by what you see. The works of man and the consequences of it. There are times that we may not have an intellectual understanding of all of the whys. You can learn a lot by what you see happen. Sometimes we may say, well, I don't understand anything that's wrong with this. I just don't understand why it would be wrong for me to go from the space I'm in now and to go to this space over here. I just don't understand that there's anything wrong with it. And yet, when you look at the very people who are operating in the spaces and in the places that you're wanting to go, they're dropping like flies. They're in trouble. Their lives are in shambles. There's problems that abound. Why would you want to go into that space when you see? Why do we think we're different? If 10 people go touch this thing that's black and they all walk away with a blister on their finger because it's hot and they get burned, why would I want to go touch it even though I don't have an understanding of how it got hot or why it's hot? I want to be careful. I worked a lot of years in plants and environments, and we were taught over and over and over again, if you see a man down, don't just go rushing in until you understand why he's down, lest you be down too. There's toxic things can be in the atmosphere that you may not understand. And the story repeats itself over and over where somebody thinks they have all the right reasons, they think, to rush in, and then they drop. And somebody else comes up on the scene and they see two people down and they go in. They think they have the right reasons. My father-in-law watched three people die just like that. was there on hand. One after the other. Folks, I want to say something. Operating outside of the Word of God is toxic. And people are dying every day. Operating outside of the Word of God. You may not have an intellectual understanding of all of the whys and the wherefores yet in every area. But if you look out there and you just look at the way that the world's going and the lives of people that are living outside of the gospel, they're in trouble. Let's learn from what we can observe. Let's create some space and some time to give ourselves to understand the Word of the Lord. Sometimes we think we're competent in an area. We're strong. Maybe. Perhaps. The older I get, the more I realize I don't understand as much as I thought I understood. And I find that life changes quickly. What I thought was reality is no longer reality. So the way I thought about it no longer applies. Life's uncertain. I need God. You need the Lord. It's important to give ourselves to following truth. Keep it close by where you operate. This next verse begins to get at a primary cause of this sad account. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. You notice the word little that's in here? He says little. And it stands out to me because often what starts out as just a little bit turns into a whole lot. Sometimes for good. Sometimes not so good. And in this case, not so good. And we often as people, we often are more comfortable framing up our personal needs. It's just a little need. Right? I mean, sometimes we're, especially if we don't want to change. If we want to continue doing what we're doing, and yet we know it's not according to what the Lord would want from us, we're more comfortable saying, well, it's just a little need. And when we look at the action that we ought to take in our lives for change, we're more comfortable framing it up as, well, just a little bit of action that needs to take place. You know why? Because if we can frame it up that way, it lends itself to delaying and deferring action. And what's the big deal of waiting until tomorrow? It's just a little bit today. It's just going to be a very little bit more tomorrow. And it won't take me that long to make up ground. And I can take care of whatever I need to take care of because it's just a little bit. And then in the end, a little bit adds to a little bit. And little by little, we wake up one day and we're in trouble. And we find ourselves in places and spaces that we never thought would ever happen. Not in my life. Got a wall, got boundaries. I know, I'm enlightened, we think. And then we go do things. And then we neglect other things. And we let things slip by that we should have held on to. And we accept things that we should have resisted. And we end up in these places. Isaiah 28:9 says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine?" And he goes on, he says, "For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little." That's how knowledge, isn't that how knowledge comes about? When we're small, we got some children here today. When they're young, we don't unload the whole dump truck full of knowledge on them. We'll give them a little bit. And the next day we'll give them a little bit more. Little by little, line upon line, precept upon precept, pretty soon it starts to accumulate into some good knowledge that you can live life by. But I also have found that you can lose knowledge. And you can lose light. And you can go from being in a pretty good spot to being in a very different kind of spot the same way. Little by little. Here, there, here. And there, we let go things. Well, that's probably not that important. So we let this precept go because we say, well, I understand the reason for it. I understand the spirit of it. I know where to draw the line. I don't think I need that. It's really not that important. We let that go. And then we go over here, and there's just a little bit. We think, well, I don't think it's that important. It's kind of like the story of Stone Soup in reverse. Did you ever read the story of Stone Soup when you were a child? You know, the guy that comes along and doesn't have anything to eat and stops at the house, and he says, I've got this magic rock, and if you just let me put it in some water in your house, I just make soup. I don't need anything from you. Well, okay. And he's stirring it, you know, and they say, well, if you just add a little celery, it makes it a whole lot better. You don't have to, but if you do have it, it makes it a lot better. They add a little bit of celery. You know, if you put a little bit of carrots in there, it tastes a lot better. You don't have to, because this stone right here is going to really do the trick. But you could, if you had carrots, you could. So the person, oh, okay, I'll give you carrots. By the time they get done, they got a whole soup there. The stone had nothing to do with it. This is like stone soup in reverse. Yeah, the soup's not going to taste that much different. If you take out the carrots, everything else is there. It's good. You got all the spices. Be good. And if we're not careful, we're going to end up with nothing but a life that's worth about a rock. Void. Empty. Dark. No life. God doesn't want that. He doesn't want that for us. He has good thoughts for us. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be fulfilled. It's the reason why the scripture says, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Walk while you have the light. So shall thy poverty come. 34th verse. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. Maybe not fast, maybe not overnight. Maybe your poverty, maybe your want, your lack in life. Maybe it doesn't happen in the snap of the fingers. Maybe a week passes, maybe a year passes, but it comes as one that traveleth. Little by little, slowly but surely, the traveler gets closer and closer and closer to the destination. Back then they didn't travel in planes, trains, and automobiles. It was donkey and walking, and maybe it seemed like it's going to be a long time before they get here. But eventually, one day, there was a knock at the door, and the well-worn face of the man Poverty was standing at the door to collect his due. Little by little, slowly but surely, as one that traveleth, that poverty comes. Isn't that sobering? It is to me. It's challenging to me because we live life and we're often not afraid by the little. We're not really moved by the little. It's just a little. I want to read a verse out of Jeremiah. The sixth chapter and the 16th verse says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Why? Just because it's nostalgic and it's old and it must be better because it's old? No, it's because it said it's the good way. Go back to the way of truth. Go to the way that Jesus Christ brought us. Go to the old paths, the old way, because it's a good way. And walk ye therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. That's where rest is. But they said, we will not walk therein. That's sad. Also, I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. By the help of the Lord, that's what we're doing this morning. Sounding the trumpet. Sounding the warning. You can take it or leave it. The trumpet's being sounded. The warning's being issued. Take it or leave it. It's for everyone. Be careful that you not find poverty a reality in your life, because little by little, you let things go, not recognizing that it was hollowing out the very essence of your life and the goodness that God wants you to have. I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Why? Just because they were all bad people and they were all trying to be rebellious? Probably some of those. But there was probably some others that they didn't think they needed to, because they felt like everything's going to be okay. It's not a big deal. It's just a little bit. Just chill out. It's okay. Lower the sound of the trumpet. Everything's going to be good. You're worrying too much about it. We're not going to do that. Let us make our own decisions. We'll be good. May God help us. Our lives, our souls, They're like this field, the vineyard, and the presence and application of truth in our lives can be used, maintained, increased, taught for great blessing, or can be neglected, and it can eventually be choked out. Folks, maintain a strong incoming diet of truth. Give yourself, be diligent to understand the Word of God, to apply it. Ask His Spirit to give you more truth. Fortify it. Add to it. Use it. Teach it. Love it. Hold on to it. Lest it be choked out and replaced by the very things that steal the peace that you so long for and perhaps even your soul. Before concluding this morning, I want to include an important reality of the gospel hope. Some of the most beautiful and magnificent homes are those homes that at one time were broken down and vacant and dark, windows broken, hope seemingly lost. No more grandeur. Nobody comes by anymore to look at it. No life there. And that house was given over into the hands of one that had a vision of restoring it to a thing of beauty, that had the wherewithal, the ability, the means, and the desire to make something wonderful of it once again. I know somebody that's in that business. His name's Jesus Christ. And He's real. He's not just a comforting religious idea that is intended to help us through the difficult places of life just in our mind. He lived on this earth. He talked and He walked. And He is alive yet today, working miracles in the lives of people who found themselves in trouble. That's the hope of the gospel. And it's available to every single one of us that are here today. And if you are here today, and maybe there's a portion of your life where thorns and nettles and sticky places and thorny places have intruded in your life and you're not sure what to do about it, I want to point you this morning to Jesus. For He came to help rebuild and give hope to those places that we are unable to help ourselves. He came to replace despair with hope. He came to give life in place of death, certainty in place of uncertainty, purpose where purpose seemed to be fading. That's Jesus. Jesus came to do that for all of us, all of those that would yield unto Him. And to the Christians today, we're speaking to people that are interested in the Lord. That's why you're here today. Sometimes life itself can seem to be overwhelming us. Sometimes we feel like that the influences that are around us, try as we might, are starting to come over the boundaries, are starting to push against all that we've tried to do that's good. And we wonder, is this in vain? And I want to encourage you today, keep doing what you know to do is right. The hand of the Master is yet present to help all of those who are willing to keep doing little by little, precept upon precept, line upon line, do what you know is right. And the Lord will be faithful to us. That is the good news of the gospel for every one of us. Let's not let go of it, lest one day we find ourselves in poverty. But if we guard truth, if we hold on to it, if we're careful about what we let slide and what we let in, and we're diligent, then one day there'll be a knock at our door, and it won't be man poverty coming to collect his due, which is you, but it'll be Jesus Christ with a smile on his face and his arms outstretched, saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." I want to be true. I want to be faithful. I want to be a good steward of what the Lord has given to us. Pray for me as I pray for you. Amen.